person. I want people to think that about our young people. I want them, whatever preconceived notions others may have about you, I want them to take a look at your life and say, you know what, I misjudged that young man or that young woman. They're much so that when people look at you, they'll see the progress, the spiritual progress that you've made, and they'll think differently about you. So, what can I do? Well, here are some things I can do. First of all, act right. That's the very first thing that Paul says. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather, and the first thing he mentions is speech. So act right with your mouth, Paul says. Go with me for a moment. Look with me in Colossians. Leave your marker there in 1 Timothy, but make a left to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. In Colossians 4 and in verse 5, the apostle says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Now stop right there. Paul is talking to Christians, and he's telling them, you're going to find yourselves in interaction with people who aren't Christians. And there may be some moments there that will give you an opportunity to say just the right thing so that it won't only maybe diffuse a tense situation, but it will give them something good to think about. In fact, in verse 6, he says, let your speech always be with grace as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, as somebody whose mouth has gotten him in trouble more than one occasion, I want to say that knowing what to say at the right time is a learned skill. And I'm not sure I perfected it yet. In fact, I know I haven't. But I do know this. It takes a certain amount of maturity to be able to take a situation into consideration and say the right thing. There's a lot of bullying that goes on in our schools. And I hate that, don't you? I hate that sometimes young people can be mean to other young people. But sometimes, without thinking about it, we might do that to our young people. We put them down and we say things that might be, well, just not the very nicest thing to say. I want our young people to know that there's a way that you can overcome that. You can have something to say that'll diffuse a tense situation. And you can start laying the ground for that in some really simple, easy ways. One of them is just to greet people. I'm always telling the kids at our Teen Devo, forgive me, I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, but I tell them, greet a geezer. Say hello to someone older than you. I'm not making fun of our older folks. Please understand that. But I want our young people to know that one of the things that people their age, or people their folks' age and older really like is when a young person notices them. So often we're so used to just coming in for our services and we find our places and we hardly even talk to one another. So, well, that's not true. We do a lot. But younger and older, that's a different kind of a mix, right? I want our young people to know that, you know, you can start laying the groundwork for how people think of you just by interacting with them, just by talking to them, just by greeting someone, saying, hello, how are you doing? And you'll see that when you do that to an older person, immediately you'll see a smile on their face. They'll be glad that someone younger recognizes them, talks to them. You can pay them a compliment. Say something about, if it's a woman, you want to say something nice about her hair, right? Your hair looks nice today. Your outfit matches or something. But you can pay someone a compliment that's, one, true, and two, sincere. And people will like that if you'll do that. The second thing I want you to notice about this is that Paul goes on to say it's not just the way you talk. It's not just your speech, but it's also the way you act. So you can act right with your conduct, with your life. Now, some of our young people have been baptized, and that's great. And we're hoping that the ones who haven't yet will come to the realization where they need to be. We want you to be. But whether or not you are a Christian, if people know that you go to church, if you're just a little bit of a churchgoer, they expect something from you. They expect that you're going to have the right, a certain kind of morals. They expect that you're going to conduct yourself in a way that a person who says I'm a Christian ought to conduct themselves. And they have a right to expect that. Now, maybe sometimes their expectations are kind of skewed, but they have a right to at least hope that someone who professes to be a Christian is going to act in a certain way that's good, that's moral, that's clean. Well, don't give them any reason to be disappointed in the way that you live your life. Let them know that if you are a Christian, I'm a Christian, and it makes a difference in my life. Jesus makes a real difference in me. He makes a difference in how I speak. He makes a difference in how I act. He makes a difference in how I react when someone's maybe coming down on me. Let them know, and you're never too young to do this, that the gospel works in you. Second, I want you to see that Paul not only tells Timothy to act right, he tells him to read right. In verse 13, he says, give attention to the reading of Scripture. If your version has the word public in italics there, the indication is that the translators believe it was implied that there would be public reading of Scripture. And certainly there should be. We do that in all of our services. But I want to make this personal, especially for our young people. I have been challenging our teens to do a certain amount of reading every month. And when we get together on Teen Devo night, I ask them about what they read. And I'm not asking them to memorize verses or any of that kind of stuff. I just want them to get into reading the Bible. I just want them to know that the Bible has something to say, not just to old people like me, but to young people like them. That the things that the Bible says are not just true, but they're worth thinking about. They're worth following. They're worth considering for your life. Paul tells Timothy that he needs to give attention to reading. Now, I know that not every kid likes to read. I don't get that, because when I was a kid, I read everything inside. I had a stack of comic books but it wasn't just comic books. I just like to read. Nowadays, I know that reading is kind of different. You know, there's a whole genre of reading for kids. There's the young adult reading, right? And there's the young teen reading. Everybody's categorized. And maybe some of our kids like to read Harry Potter or The Hunger Games or maybe graphic novels or whatever. If you like to read, I'm glad. I hope you do. I hope you love to read. But more than that, I hope that you'll take this Bible reading stuff seriously. That you'll consider that, you know, there are some things that are maybe not as exciting as a comic book, but still are worth reading anyway. That's the Bible. It's got things to say to you. And when you're reading those other books by those young adult authors or whatever, you need to know this. Authors can put whatever they want in their books. Ideas, concepts, things that they believe, and they can weave them into the stories that they write. And that's going to come out when you read it. So how can you be sure that what you're reading isn't going to affect you in a way to get you to start believing something that's not true and incorrect? Well, this is the way. Know your Bibles. And I really don't know of any other way around getting to know your Bible than just diving into it, than reading it, than finding ways to get that book into you while you get into the book. Again, Paul says, give attention to the reading of Scripture. Young people, one of the things that turns young people off about Bible reading is when they open one up and it's hard to understand. If you start reading a King James version, I guarantee it's going to, and I'm not saying anything negligent or derogatory about that wonderful version, but it's probably not the best one for a young person to start reading. It's hard to understand. So find a version that you can understand. There's a couple of versions, and if you're taking notes, jot these down. One is, I use the New American Standard. It's written for a 12th grade reading grade. The ESV is a lot like the New American Standard. It's written for 9th to 11th grade. There's a new version out that I have read completely through, and I really like it. It's called the Holman Christian Standard Bible, the HCSB. And it's written for about a 9th grade level, but by staying true to the text, I believe it has, it makes it much easier to understand. My whole point is find a version that you want to read that's easy for you to understand. And with the variety of Bible versions out there, there's really no reason why young people, you can't pick up a Bible and start reading. So Paul says, make sure that you do this. And you'll be amazed at how much you can get in just 10, 15 minutes a day. I gave our young people an assignment last time. It was the book of Philippians. You had a whole month to read 4 chapters. And tonight when we get together, I'm going to be expecting that all of our young people have read 4 chapters. Come on, you can do that in a month, right? There's going to be another assignment tonight, so get ready for that. And again, the point is I just want our young people to get to learn to love to read God's Word. Paul continues and he says, it's not just about acting right and reading right. He says, you've got to give right. In verses 14 and 15, he says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. In verse 15, he says, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Now, maybe Timothy had some kind of miraculous gift that was given to him by the laying on of Paul's hands. That could very well be. But I want our young people to know that you have a gift. You have something in you that we need. There is a talent that you have. There's a potential that you have. There's a particular ability that you have that nobody else can do just the way you do it. And we need that. We need you. We want you to know that you're important here. And whatever your talent is, whatever your ability is, we'll find a place for you to use it. There's lots of things that we all can do, but there are only some things that only you can do. I want you to know that you have a place here. Maybe some of those things that we need done aren't so glamorous. I mean, preparing the Lord's Supper, putting the crackers in the plates and the juice in the little cups. That's not especially exciting, but it's needed. And maybe that's something that you can do with your folks. Say, Mom, Dad, when you go do the communion, let me give you a hand. Let me help you. They'll appreciate that. And they will spark at your interest in doing something for the local church. There's other things that maybe aren't exciting, but they're needed, like the cleaning up around here, the picking up around the yard, doing things around here that are behind the scenes that just need to be done. From time to time, we have work days and we recruit our men to come and do some work around the building. And it doesn't happen very often, maybe a couple times a year. But there's no reason in the world why some of our young people can't come and also lend some elbow grease and give us a hand. The point is that you have some ability and we'll find a place for you to use your elbow grease. Something else that you can give, though, that I think is really important, he mentions it in verse 15, is your diligence. He says, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Paul is talking about spiritual things. You have an opportunity now that I didn't have when I was young and growing up. I didn't get the opportunity to come to Bible classes. And so I missed out on a whole lot of time where I could have been learning God's Word, but I didn't. You have that. And so it's important for you to be diligent about something like, well, preparing for Bible class. I bet that every week your teacher has something for you to read and prepare for the next time. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's homework. It sounds like homework. Who likes homework? Well, nobody. But I'll tell you this. It helps, doesn't it? If you didn't do your homework for school, would you be able to pass the tests? No. If you don't do your preparation for Bible class, are you going to learn the things that your Bible class teacher wants you to learn, that God wants you to learn from His Word? Of course not. It takes some work. It takes some maturity to build yourself to the point where you're going to say, you know, I need to be ready for this. I need to do it on my own. And if you want to make your folks ultra happy, don't wait until they say, did you get your Bible class lesson done? Have it done before and see them be all happy for you. Maybe they'll even give you a treat. I don't know. But I do know this. I know that it takes work. I know that it takes incentive. And that just smacks of maturity. And that's the second part to this verse. So that your progress will be evident to all. I know that young people hate to be painted with a broad brush. And sometimes the older generation does that. We write off an entire generation and say, oh, they're all no good. Well, that's not true. You and I know that. And I know that those who don't want to be included in that class resent that. And they should. You shouldn't like it when somebody writes you off just because someone else maybe isn't as good as you are. But you're going to have to show them that you yourself as an individual are worthy of their respect, are worthy of their consideration, their time, and even their praise. And that means that you're going to have to show a generation that is sometimes doubtful and suspicious that you're growing in the Lord, so that your progress may be evident to all. I'm so glad when we have our devos, or when I get the lucky, rare opportunity to teach our high school class. I get so excited when our young people participate in the discussion, when they've not only got serious questions, but also have thought about those things and have got some serious answers to provide to the group. I love it when our kids are thinking spiritually, because it tells me something. It tells me, one thing, that mom and dad at home are helping point them in that direction, and two, that they have a genuine interest in going in that direction. And I notice it. And I'm not the only one, I'm sure. I know that others here at Eastside also notice that. But even if none of us did, even if it got past all of us, and if we never did say, hey, you're really growing spiritually, good job, even if you never get that pat on the back, guess who does notice? Your Heavenly Father notices. And He's glad. What a wonderful thing it is to bring a smile to our Heavenly Father's face. And who knows, you may be able to someday encourage someone who's flagging in their own conviction, who's flagging in their own spiritual growth. When they see a young person just growing in the Lord, maybe that's just the motivation they need for somebody older to be a little more serious themselves about their growth. It's easy to settle for low expectations as a young person. Our culture, unfortunately, has painted you that way. And I'm sorry on behalf of my generation that it's so. But unfortunately, our culture says young people aren't worth that much. And so we shouldn't expect much from them. I disagree. And I don't want our young people to be trapped in that culture of low expectations. So, if you just take these three simple concepts and get serious about them, if you act right, read right, and give right, see how much of a difference it'll make in you. In verse 16, Paul says, pay close attention to yourself. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you'll ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. And that's what it's all about, right? It's not really just about giving the right answer in Bible class. And it's not about reading all the four chapters of Philippians before Mr. Zeke asks you what you thought about it at Teen Devo. It's about wanting to be saved. It's about wanting to have a relationship with Jesus and knowing that there is someone in your heart who guides you and directs you and who'll be with you throughout your whole life. When everyone else might desert you, you will have one special and true friend who will never, ever desert you. I want our young people to think about these things. And tonight when we get to our Devo, maybe we'll talk about them a little more. But there's no time like now. If you're thinking to yourself, well, what can I do? Here are some things you can do. And like I said, these are principles that are not just for kids, but they're from kids from 8 to 80. We can all do these things. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing a song. And of course, the intention of that song is to get us to recognize our need for the Lord and for His salvation. So maybe this evening there's someone here who hasn't availed themselves of that salvation. Or maybe there is someone who has, and yet for some reason has stumbled. We want to help you. That's what we're here for. Let's go to heaven together. Can we help you? Come now, please, while we stand and sing.